talk in the series. Tales of a tax collector. It's not my joke, it's John's. This is not a true story, it really happened. I wouldn't have thought of that. This is a really challenging talk for me, because it's probably one I've known since I was a child. And it's just brought up loads and loads of questions and loads of self-examination. And I haven't got all the answers and I haven't worked it all through. I think Andy said it better than me when he brought that word this morning. But here goes. What's that? No, that's not it. Oh, this is you. John put this on here. We haven't got time for it. I'm thinking, I didn't write that. Yeah, well, no. Thank you, John, for doing my PowerPoint. Key themes that are included today: seeking the lost, life transformation, and unconditional grace. We heard that this morning. So this comes from Luke 19, verse 1 to 10. So we'll just read that. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead of them and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So you must have if you were in my era, you would have known it from as a child, because we all heard this story. So just a brief introduction. That's a picture of Jericho. So we come to the meeting of Jesus and Zacchaeus. Only Luke records this. And he makes it clear it happens at the climax of Jesus' ministry. In fact, it's the last event Luke records before Jesus enters Jerusalem. The place he's heading for in order to be crucified. Jericho's a wealthy town. It's on a major trade route to Jerusalem. It's actually a beautiful town. I went there in 1983. It was probably different from Jesus' day, but it was stunning. And I can picture it because all along the roads, there were trees, and beautiful orange trees as well as the sycamore. It was Jesus was passing through. So they're now actually in the city. Jesus has clearly built up a good reputation among the people through his teaching, through healing, through miracles, and the crowds from Jericho come to see him. Earlier in this gospel, John the Baptist's instruction for the tax collectors is not to collect more than required. So this indicates that corruption in his job was commonplace. That's in Luke 3. So let's look at Zacchaeus. I'm going to look at the different groups of people. Zacchaeus is mainly remembered for being short and a hated tax collector who climbed a tree. It's easy to think of him as a silly little man. But he wasn't. He was little, but he was rich and powerful. If we wanted something to happen in Jericho, it would happen. He was an ends justifies the means sort of guy, and people hated him. This rich, powerful man climbed a tree, probably because the crowds were a barrier or a blockage to him. In his fancy clothes, in front of those people who hated him, in front of all those people he'd hurt, I don't imagine he climbed the tree very gracefully or skillfully either. He probably looked ridiculous. And people were probably laughing at him. Why did Zacchaeus make a fool of himself? Because he'd heard about Jesus and wanted to take a look at for himself at Jesus to see what everybody was talking about. He may have been asking questions about what he'd heard about Jesus and wanted to see for himself if the stories were true. He was persistent, determined to see Jesus. And to his amazement, this didn't go unnoticed by Jesus. Zacchaeus felt unworthy, not good enough. And frankly, he was unworthy. He took what didn't belong to him, hurt others for his own benefit, but now he just wanted to see Jesus. I don't think he even thought he would be noticed by Jesus. He just wanted to see what all the fuss was about. So Jesus is the Son of God. I think Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. He knew all about him, just like he did in all the other encounters we've seen and heard about. How was Jesus going to relate to him? Jesus had a long record of challenging and condemning the rich and wealthy. But what we see is Jesus didn't leave him in that tree. It wasn't enough for Zacchaeus to find and see Jesus. Jesus wanted to find Zacchaeus. Jesus strode through the crowds of people who were laughing at Zacchaeus, walked right up to him and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Why must Jesus go to Zacchaeus' house? Well, verse 10 probably gives us the answer. Jesus says, "He, the Son of Man, has come to seek and save the lost." Zacchaeus may be rich and well off in human terms, but in spiritual and eternal terms, he's lost. He's been living a life outside of God's ways and God's family. Like lost sheep, he needs to be brought back into the flock. Like a lost coin, he needs to be put back in the purse. Like a lost son, he needs to return to his family. And this is what Jesus is all about. I wonder what it was about Jesus that caused the radical change of heart in Zacchaeus. I don't have an answer for that. How long had it been since a fellow Jew greeted Zacchaeus with such friendly acceptance? Perhaps we need to think about that, how we treat people. To be acknowledged like this must have been breathtaking. Not only for Zacchaeus, but also for the people standing by, watching. For Jesus risked his own reputation by associating with this man. In chapter 18, just before our reading, Jesus tells another story, this time about a Pharisee and a tax collector. The Pharisee tells God how good he is, and the tax collector pleads for God's mercy. Jesus says it's the tax collector that goes home right with God. Jesus doesn't disagree with the Pharisees that the tax collector's past behaviour was wrong, But he does challenge them to rejoice when he sees people turning back to God, rather than wishing that they remain condemned. All these stories show Jesus' concern is not to join in society's condemnation of those that do wrong, like the self-righteous Pharisees, but to seek help, to help those people back into God's family and to God's ways. When that happens, it's a reason to celebrate. The crowd were probably made up of disciples, people who'd been travelling with Jesus, and also people that wanted to see this man that they'd heard about but didn't know. They actually obstructed Zacchaeus being able to see because he was short. When you go up to London to these big events, people always let the little people through, the children and everybody through to see the crowd, but not this crowd. They didn't have much time for Zacchaeus as they saw him as a sinner. The crowd were not happy Jesus picked Zacchaeus out to talk to. They complained, saying, "Why is he talking to sinners?" That's really interesting. Would they have used the word of themselves? They criticised Jesus. They didn't understand. Then Jesus and Zacchaeus together. Zacchaeus obeyed Jesus' command straight away and came down out of the tree. Zacchaeus showed both repentance and joy at Jesus' request and welcomed him. And so Jesus visits Zacchaeus, and the result is transformational. Zacchaeus sees this as Jesus' offer of a second chance and grabs it gratefully. Zacchaeus shows that he's repenting from his old ways. As a tax collector, his main motivation has been greed, getting as much money as possible, no matter how he treated people. Now Zacchaeus shows he wants to reverse that and become someone who is generous and not greedy. He offers to give away half of his wealth to the poor and to repay fourfold those he's cheated. Zacchaeus has come to realise that wealth is not there to be hoarded, but to be used for God. Zacchaeus was saved because he turned away from sin, repented, and began to follow Jesus by making restitution for his ways and by putting things right. Simply, he believed, received, no big academic understanding. It was simple. Just as an aside, a change of work was not included in Zacchaeus' promises. There is no indication he stopped collecting taxes. Even so, once salvation has come to this house, that would surely provide the motivation for doing the job differently. Jesus doesn't raise the issue of occupation either, perhaps because his work for Rome was still important to God. Secondly, Jesus says that Zacchaeus is the son of Abraham. What does that mean? It may be that he is just saying to the other Jews in Jericho, "Look, Zacchaeus is family. You should be pleased that he is now coming back into the fold." And yet in the Bible, Abraham is also seen as the father of all those who believe. Jesus goes on to say that salvation has come to this house. When Jesus tells people that they have been saved in the Gospels, he usually links it to faith. So it is likely that Jesus is saying, "Look, here is someone that's come to believe. He believes that belonging to God is far better than having loads of stuff. That it's better to have treasure in heaven than treasure on earth. That God is welcome, will welcome him back with rejoicing." So Zacchaeus repents and believes, and Jesus says he is saved. But importantly, he says, "Today, salvation has come to this house." The word "today" is important. Jesus doesn't say, well, when Zacchaeus has sorted out all his finances, when he's shown that he's changed, when he's done this, that and the other, he will be saved. He doesn't have to achieve anything to be saved. He doesn't have to do anything to make up for his past sins. He is forgiven on the spot. The sins are remembered no more. His decision to change his ways and trust in Jesus, to repent and believe, means that his status is changed instantly. He is accepted by God, accepted by Jesus, and his salvation is secure. Key points from this encounter. The seeker and the sighted. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but Jesus was already looking for him. And God looks for us too. Even when we know him, he desperately wants us to know him better. And he's still seeking us and still talking to us. Oops. Overcoming obstacles. Being short, Zacchaeus climbed a sycamore tree, ignoring the angry crowd that viewed him as a sinner. We need to overcome obstacles that stop us seeing and doing what Jesus wants us to do. You know what they are. I'm not going into detail. A changed heart. Zacchaeus eagerly welcomed Jesus, promised to give half his goods to the poor and repay four times what he had cheated. We often say things that we'll do for God, and our word should be our bond. It should be a promise. Interestingly, I couldn't seem to sing some of those songs this morning because I thought, can I really do that? Do we always fulfill the promise like Zacchaeus did? Jesus' mission. Jesus declared that salvation came to that house because he came to seek and save the lost. Jesus' mission is our mission too. How are we doing seeking and bringing the lost to Jesus to be saved? What's our attitude as church? I don't just mean this as leaders, I mean as church. As part of God's family and his church, are we still living with the priorities of Jesus? He said he came to seek and to save the lost. Is that our desire? Or are we slipping into the ways of the Pharisee? Do we criticise bad behaviour in others, easily joining in condemnation in conversations? To love as Jesus loved, we must love without conditions and without pressure. It's easy to talk about the treatment of people in our lives, but Jesus asks us to love them, and he will give us the ability to do that because he doesn't ask us to do anything he doesn't equip us for. And when we do that, and rely on his grace and his love to overcome those things, we become more like him. And that's our goal, isn't it? Are we actively praying and seeing how we can help people come to Jesus and be transformed like Zacchaeus? The cafe, Bibles in the town centre, when you're at work or at play, as Andy said this morning, in your everyday life, day to day, you know what your life looks like. Is Jesus seeking you? It may be that you're here and realise that you're a bit like Zacchaeus. Perhaps life has been all about trying to get what you want without worrying about the consequences for others or for God's work. You've seen no need for God, just yourself. But God is seeking you and wants to invite you back into his family. Are you ready to believe he is offering you a second chance? Are you ready to believe he can forgive you for your past? Are you willing to repent and move to a life that pleases God? God is inviting you into his family. He wants to come into your life today. And I said there were a lot of questions, and I'm not even going to answer these, but I put them up there. Maybe you can talk about them in community group. I'll just read through them. Do we hinder people coming to God by being a blockage or a barrier? Are we prepared to make fools of ourselves in our pursuit of Jesus? Do we overcome obstacles in order to know Jesus better and to share him? Do I know Jesus or just know about him? Do we have time for the lost? After all, we've been called to seek and save the lost. Do we get annoyed, jealous, criticised when God speaks to people that surprises us? God's methods are not our methods. Are we often surprised by him? We talked about that in community group this week. It came up. Do we welcome people freely as Jesus did, with unconditional love and without pressure? Father, thank you for your word. Father, you know the challenges I've felt by all this and the way that you're speaking to me. And I haven't got all the answers and I haven't worked it all through. But I know you're there working it through with me and your Holy Spirit's helping me. Thank you for that. Help us to go with your mission to seek and save the lost. May that be our top priority. When we go out the door every day, may that be our priority. Father, change our hearts. Give us love for the people out there and for each other. May we have your compassion. Thank you that you don't give up on us. Help us to continue to grow and to move forward with you. Amen.